Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today. Hey, it's great to see you guys. I want to welcome you again to Blue Ridge Church. Welcome to our online campus. It's so good to have you with us as well. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and we are continuing today in our series, Life Hacks Part 2. And so if you're joining us for the first time, what we have been doing is we've been going through the book of James, looking at Jesus's half-brother's words on how to become like Christ, how to live out Jesus's words. So each week we're picking up these different life hacks that we can apply to our lives. And if you were with us last week, we talked about wealth, and we talked about the sins of wealth and how, you know, contrary to popular belief, God's not against us being wealthy. He's against the misuse of wealth. So we looked at what James had to say about that. And again, every week, it's these life hacks that practically we can grow in our faith. And the great thing about this is, even if you don't know where you stand on that faith journey, you haven't made the decision to follow Christ, you just don't know where you're at, God's principles will still work in your life. They'll still improve your life. So today what I want to look at is I want to look at what James has to say about patience. And he's talking to the people about being patient for the Lord's return, but he also reminds them that, hey, you need to be patient every day of your life. And I know none of you struggle with patience. But just for fun, I think we ought to at least see what James has to say about it. The truth is, we all struggle with being patient in life, right? And if you think about it, we're constantly waiting in life. We spend a lot of our life waiting on things. You know, we can't wait for this to happen. We can't wait for that to happen, and then we have to wait. We're young. We can't wait to start to school. Then we get older, we get in high school, we're like, I can't wait to get out of school, right? And then you can't wait to fall in love. And then you can't wait to get married. Then you can't wait to get your own place, whether it's an apartment or purchasing a trailer or a house. And then we can't wait on that next job or that promotional opportunity. We can't wait to have kids, and then we have kids. Can't wait to retire. We spend a lot of our lives waiting. If you're married, you're going to spend a lot of time waiting on your wife to get ready to go out to dinner, all right? You're going to spend a lot of time waiting on your husband to, I just want to watch the last inning. I just want to watch the last quarter, and then you can go and walk the dogs. But the truth is, we have a vested interest in learning what James has to say about patience and waiting in patience. Think about how many things in our life test our patience, right? Waiting in lines, grocery store lines. That's why you go in there and you're getting ready to check out and you're scanning to see which one's going to be the quickest. And then you always get in the wrong one, right? Or waiting to see a doctor. You go to a doctor's office, what do? You wait, right? Until it's your turn or they're running behind. Or we have to wait in traffic jams. Or have you ever tried to get concert tickets? You know, your favorite group or whatever, and you wait in that queue until you can get in and purchase those tickets. And you're looking, and all these tickets are being sold, but you're still waiting to get in there to get your opportunity. We spend a lot of our lives waiting, and we struggle with patience. So I think it's in our best interest to at least look and see what James has to say about it. And the great thing about this is James gives us several areas that we need to look out for, several areas that really are going to test our patience. And he uses the word patience in just this little passage we're going to read. He uses the word patience like five times. He talks about endurance. So again, it shows how important this is. So I'm going to read it through. And then what we'll do is we'll kind of go back through and we'll dissect it piece by piece. But it's found in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11.
And he says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged, for look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." So here James uses the example of a farmer to be patient. Now, if you think about a farmer, there's very little in a farmer's life that they can control in order to have a crop, right? A lot of it's just beyond their control. They can't control what has to happen in order for them to make a living. But if you think about it, you don't have to be a farmer to realize you don't control much. We think, as human beings, we're in control of a lot. We've got control of our life. We got control of all these areas of our life. But the truth is, we control very little. But there's this control freak in all of us that wants to control it, but we can't. So James is saying, in these situations that you can't control, you have to develop patience and you have to wait. A farmer, let's think about the spring when they're getting ready to put in their crops. You know, they're going to have to wait until the ground temperature is high enough, right? Whether it's 52 degrees or whatever temperature, they got to wait on that. And sometimes they got to wait on the ground to dry out so they can put the tractors in the field. And they have to wait on the wind speeds to be correct, especially if they have to spray as soon as they put those seeds in the ground. Then as they get everything planted, then they have to wait on rain. And then sometimes it rains and rains and rains, and then they got to wait on the sun. Right? There's just very little they control. A lot of it's beyond their control. And it's the same with us. And I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but when I was younger, I was very impatient, like a lot of us are. My wife will tell you I was very impatient. But over the years, and as you age, you learn patience. But even today, even at my age, if I come across something that I realize I can't control, I still try to control it. And you know how I try to control it? Through worrying about it. Things we can't control in our life, we still try to control by worrying and fretting over it and getting anxious about it, but there's absolutely nothing that worry's going to do to start controlling that problem. So if you're taking notes, the first area James identifies that trips us up that we need to be careful of, learning number one, we need to have patience when we can't control the circumstances in life. Then he says this in verse 10. He says, for examples of patience, look at the prophets. So he's saying, as you're trying to go through life and you're trying to practice patience, if you need a great example to follow, look at the prophets of God. Now, what did the prophets of God do? They simply communicated God's message to the people, right? They were God's spokespeople, if you will. And their message was often the same because God would say, you know, they're doing this and they need to be over here. Their message would be, hey, you need to come back to God. You need to turn from the direction you're currently going. You need to change your behaviors, whatever. But the reason he said to watch the prophets for examples of patience is because they would rarely see any change in the people. And this is going to come as another shock to you, but people are resistant to change. Have you figured this out? It was the same way for those prophets. They would preach, they would tell the people directly what God had said to them, and they would not change. So God said, if you want an example, look at the prophets. They never saw much change in the people. You and I are the same way. We think we know better than God. We think we know what's best for our life instead of what God says is best for our life. So we're resistant to change as well. Do you know anybody in your life right now? And I'll just warn you, don't look at them. All right? Don't point at them. But do you know anybody in your life right now that is resistant to change? Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it's a child or a parent, an elderly parent you're trying to take care of. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss or a coach or a teacher at school that's just totally resistant to change. These are the folks that are hard to deal with. And these are the folks that James says we have to be patient with. So we practice patience in those uncontrollable situations in our life, and we practice patience with people who are unchangeable in our life. Right? Makes perfect sense. It's just easier to talk about it than it actually is to do it. If we're going to have good relationships, though, if we're going to be good husbands or good wives, if we're going to be good parents, if we're going to be good employees or a good business owner, if we're going to have any type of success in life, we're going to have to be dealing with people. And so we have to learn to be patient with people. We have to practice the art of patience. We don't want to have a short fuse. You know, that's the opposite of patience, is we're quick to anger, we're quick to explode, we have a short fuse, we don't tolerate anything. God says that's not going to work if you're going to have any success in your life. And then in verse 11, James starts talking about Job. And he said, we give great honor to those who endured under suffering. Now, we talked about Job a little bit last week. Job was the wealthiest person of his day. I mean, he was absolutely loaded. And if you know the story of Job, his life literally changed in an instant. His life went from great to completely falling apart. Job lost everything in his life. He lost his money, his wealth. He lost his animals. He lost his servants. He lost his way of life. He lost his children. He lost his health. You know, he suffered from these boils. He literally lost everything. And the scripture tells us that he suffered, you know, not just mentally, he suffered physically in body. He suffered mentally and socially. All of his friends he lost, his friends turned on him. And if that wasn't enough, as you're reading through Job, you're like, man, this poor guy. If that wasn't enough, his wife turns on him. And his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, it's crazy when you read the story. God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job. Except for the nagging wife. For some reason, God left the wife in the picture as if Job hadn't suffered enough. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm going to pay for that when I get home. But the worst part of it was Job didn't know why. Job's 42 chapters, I think. God doesn't speak to Job for 38 chapters of Job. He has no clue why this is going on. He has no clue why his life is great one day and the next day it's completely gone. Totally different life. It just doesn't seem fair. If you read the book, you're like, this is not fair. This is not fair to Job. But the truth is, life's not fair to any of us, is it? God never said life's going to be fair. And so there's going to be a lot of times in my life and a lot of times in your life, what happens is going to make zero sense. Our problems are going to make zero sense to us. We'll call them unexplained problems. We won't know why they're there. God's not going to tell us. But what did Job do through all that? He maintained his faith. Scripture says he had endurance. We just need to know there's going to be times that we just simply can't figure out what's going on in our life. So learning number two, we need to be patient when there's no explanation for our problems. Okay, so uncontrollable circumstances, unexplained problems, unchangeable people in our life. Those are areas we have to practice patience. So what's going to help us to be more patient? And if we'll go back to verse 8, he said, "You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." James says, you need to be patient. The coming of the Lord is near. In other words, Jesus is coming back. Nothing can stop that. The Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus and how he's going to judge the world, probably more than his first appearance on earth, right? What is James trying to communicate with us? What's he trying to tell us through this? God's in control. God controls when Jesus comes back. God controls the beginning and the end. He controls absolutely everything. Nothing happens in this world beyond God's control. So James is trying to say, relax. God's in control. God's got it. Whatever it is you're worrying about, whatever it is you're trying to control, you can relax because God has got it. Even the things that are out of control in our life. Just because something's out of control in Scott's life does not mean it's out of control in God's hands, because it's not. So I have to trust that God's got it. It's not out of his control. We got to be patient. We've got to wait, where we spend a lot of our life doing, knowing, just like Job, God is working in our life. Even though we're not hearing from him, even though he's been silent for 38 chapters, he's still working in our life. I mean, Job made it. God's timing was perfect. I'm sure it may not have been Job's timeline. A lot of things don't happen in our life on our timeline. They happen on God's timeline, but he knows it all. He knows what he's doing. Maybe some of you today, you know, you're experiencing a real problem in your life right now, and you've been praying about it, and God's been totally silent with you, just like he was with Job. I get that. I completely understand that. But those silent moments doesn't mean that God's changed his purpose for your life. Those silent moments don't mean that he's just walked away completely from your life. I waited 3 years to hear from God about this call to ministry. 3 years of total silence. Nothing. But you know what that 3 years did? It prepared me. And it taught me, I got to be patient. This isn't my rodeo. This is God's job. So just because God's been silent in your life doesn't mean he's not working in your life. That whole example, he was working behind the scenes in Job's life. And if you look at Job's life, the second half of his life was more blessed than the first half of his life, right? God doubled everything in Job's life, which shows us there is a payoff. There is a reward if we can practice patience, if we can remain patient. Think about it. When you're patient with others, you're more pleasant to be around, you're happier, you're more at peace, our character grows when we're patient, our faith grows when we're patient, we have less worry and less fear and less anxiety in our life. God rewards our patience. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So when people persecute us, slander us, put something on social media about us, they're hateful to us or criticize us, we got to practice patience, right? We got to practice patience, and there's going to be a reward for us from God. Now, that's easy to stand up here and say to do, but that's a whole different ballgame when you try to do it, isn't it? Because when somebody hurts us, talks bad about us, does something evil against us, or does something to our family, what do we want to do? We want to get even, right? We want to take matters into our own hands and get even with those adversaries in our life. And listen, those thoughts of getting even, those are natural thoughts. That's a natural thing. But it is not what God calls us to do. It is the exact opposite of patience. Retaliation against somebody that's hurt us is not practicing patience. It's not waiting on the Lord, right? And it's hard to see in the heat of the moment when we're upset because somebody's done something to us and we want to take matters into our own hands. It's very hard for us to see that the reward we're going to get from God is going to be much more enjoyable than the instant satisfaction of getting even with somebody. Because that instant satisfaction is kind of nice, right? But it's nothing compared to the reward that God's going to give us for practicing patience. And we also got to remember, God's working things out. He's working things out in my life, and he's working things out in other people's lives, excuse me, as well, even though we may not be able to see it. And then in verse 11, he said this, "You know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." We already know Job didn't know what was going on, but he knew that God was working. So if you've been praying about something and you haven't gotten an answer to that prayer and you think God's forgotten about it, it may just be a delay. It just may be a delay from God. It's just not time yet for whatever he's going to do in your life. A lot of times we think, well, God's silent. That just means no. This isn't going to happen. Listen, there's a big difference between no and not yet. Right? There's a big difference in no and just wait. So what should we be doing while we're waiting? And what we should be doing, kind of like that farmer, we should be praying and we should be thanking God in advance for what he is going to do in our life. What he's going to do behind the scenes that we don't even know what that's going to be, what he's working out. You know, we pray for something, he may deliver something different, but we know it's going to be best. So when we're practicing patience, remember that God's in it, and wait on him. The farmer, he plants the seed and then he waits for it to grow. But who makes it grow? God. God's the one working behind the scenes, making that plant to grow and to hopefully grow into a big crop, and hopefully that farmer has a harvest. But you wait on God to act in your life when you ask him for something. Philippians 2:3 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Maybe we can't see it, but God's working in us all the time. He's working in other people all the time. And this next verse, it's a familiar verse to a lot of you, but it's helped me so much to remember this. It's Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." It may not be the answer we want, but God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God. We got to remember that. Again, he knows best. He knows best. And I don't know what problem you are facing right now that you're going to face this week, this month, this year, but I do know that God's in it. Even if you haven't heard from him, even if you haven't seen God, he's in it. Maybe it's a loss that you're struggling with, or a health diagnosis, or a financial turmoil, or a relationship. I know that God is in the middle of that problem, and he's working just like he was in Job's life. We have to be patient, and we have to trust him. So I think another thing that we can do or pick up from this life hack of James is figure out what we're supposed to do while we wait. Because I'm sure this happens to you, but if you're waiting on God to do something in your life and you're praying and he's been silent, if you don't find something else to do or something else to focus your mind on, what are you going to think about? The fact that God hasn't answered you yet, right? And that's just going to make you more and more impatient. And so again, he brings up the farmer. What did the farmers do? Consider the farmers who wait patiently, who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. What were the farmers doing? They were waiting and they were expecting a harvest. They were expecting what they had been praying for. So what's a farmer do while they're waiting? Practically, after they've planted their crops, do they start sleeping in till about 10, 10:30, get up, make a late breakfast, watch some TV shows, grab a late lunch, and then stay on the internet to the wee hours of the morning? No. They prepare for what they're praying they're going to get. I have a brother-in-law who's a farmer, and as soon as he plants those seeds, guess what? He is working. He is preparing for a harvest. It's going to be months away, but he's preparing. He's working on his tractors and his equipment, making sure everything's set to go. He's cleaning his sprayer heads and nozzles and adjusting the arms so when it's time to spray those crops, he's ready to roll. You know, when the weather breaks, when the time's right, he's prepared. He watches the futures market, right? You know, let's say he's growing corn. He'll look at the futures market and corn and say, okay, if I get this much of a crop, then I'm going to sell some of it at harvest time and the other I'm going to wait based on what the prices are doing. There's certain things he grows he doesn't have the ability to transport to the processing plant, like cotton. So he's lining up people who truck those bales of cotton for him or bale it for him. They're never just sitting idle. They're preparing the whole time for the answer that they're hoping that God's going to give them. They're preparing for what they're praying for. And we can do the same. So warning number three, the waiting period, when we're trying to be patient, is a time we should prepare for what the Lord will do. And that shows we expect something to happen. We expect God to do something. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. So here's a question. What are you waiting on from God? Maybe it is to be healed. Maybe it is to transform your marriage. Maybe it's to reach your children with the message of Christ, to save your children. Maybe it's to turn around a financial issue you're having. But what is it you're expecting God to do? And the question I have is, do you really expect God to do that? Do you really expect God to do what you've been asking him to do? Jesus said this in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be done to you. If we're expecting God to do something in our life, we should prepare for it. And even if we don't get it, we have prepared. And we've learned so much about life and about ourselves and about God. And I think, too, if you're waiting on God, I often think, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to give me an answer, waiting on God to answer this. But I've learned I got to self-reflect and think, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not waiting on God. Maybe God's waiting on me. Maybe there's something in my life that God's asked me to do, and I haven't done it. I haven't taken that step. Or I haven't proved that I'm faithful enough to accept whatever it is I've been praying God to give me. So I think that waiting time is a time to prepare, but it's also a time to evaluate us and make sure, I'm going to make sure God's not waiting on me to do something that he's called me to do. And think about it, Jesus waited. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his earthly ministry, and he was prepared for it. Isaiah 49:23b, those who trust in me will never be put to shame. Now, James also adds in here, I mean, there's a lot on patience in these few verses, but he shows us what will be a barrier to our patience, and that's our grumbling and complaining. He says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. You know, it's hard not to complain when we're waiting on something. Right, when we're waiting on an answer for something, waiting on God to do something in our life, or just waiting on anything in general in life, it is hard not to complain and to grumble about it. James is saying, we can't do that. We can't have a short fuse. We can't get angry or upset. Well, you know, we've kind of grown up in this environment where we're okay waiting on things as long as we can complain about it. Right? As long as I can just let people know what's going on in my life and why I'm upset, then I'm okay with waiting. And then we have the gall to blame our husband or blame our wives or blame our children because we're having to wait on something from God. We take it out on the people we love the most. Here's another great reminder from the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Just another great reminder, be patient. If it seems slow in coming, it's coming. It's going to take place. God's going to do something. So we should wait patiently and we should wait confidently. That's what Job did. He never lost his confidence that God was going to do something in his life. The whole time he didn't. When our outlook in our life is bad, instead of looking around, we should look up. We should pray. We should be on our knees and praying. So how do we wait confidently? We don't worry. We don't become full of fear. We don't get anxious. All those things that you and I tend to do that God says don't do, we got to eliminate those from our life. We don't compare what God's doing in somebody else's life to what he hasn't done in our life. We wait confidently. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Again, maybe today you have a situation in your life that's completely uncontrollable. Or you have a person in your life that's totally unwilling to change. Or you've got a problem in your life that you can't explain. And God's being silent. We have to practice patience. We have to trust him that he is in control, that he's still working in our life, that he hasn't forgotten us. Listen, there is nothing beyond God's power. There's nothing beyond God's power and his purpose in your life. He just expects us to be patient. And the beauty of it is he's going to reward our patience. So this week, whatever one of those three situations you got going on, let's practice patience together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know we need patience. We need a whole bunch of patience. Help us, especially in the culture we live in, we need patience. Just help us to wait on you. Help us to prepare in advance and thank you in advance for what we're expecting. God, knowing even if you don't give us the answer we thought we were going to get, you're growing us, you're leading us, you're directing us because your plans and your purposes are greater than anything we could imagine. Maybe you're watching from home today or you're here today and you haven't made a decision about Christ. We talked about how he's coming back. The question we got to answer is, are we going to be ready if he came back today? And if you're not, the great news is he's waiting on you. He loves you that much. The best way to learn more patience and handling our resources and being slow to anger and all the things that we're taught in Scripture is to first follow Christ. It's to first invite him into your life. Let him be the Lord of your life. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that today. Just say yes to him. Just say, Jesus, you know what? I don't understand it all. But I know I'm a sinner and I want to be forgiven. And I know I want you to lead my life from now on. I want to become the person you want me to be, knowing you do know better about my life and my purpose than I do. And God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for their heart, just their willingness to come every week or to tune in every week, their willingness to serve and give and pray and invite their friends. Lord, We want to continue to be a church that helps people to find and follow you. There's nothing more rewarding than seeing somebody start their relationship with you. Let us continue to do that and be a great light for you in this community and beyond. In Christ's name, amen. A couple things as we wrap up. If you invited Christ into your life for the first time, just tell your online host if you're with our online campus, or if you're here, just stop by the hub. They've got a gift for you that will help you on your spiritual journey. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be up here at the end of the service in front of the stage, or maybe a friend's asked you to pray for them. You just come up and they will be honored to pray with you. If you're worshiping through giving back, you can do that in the black boxes if you're in the auditorium, or better yet, online or in the auditorium. Use our online system. That helps us so much. Thank you so much for what you do each and every week. But I hope you have a great Sunday afternoon, a great week. It's going to be warmer. Praise the Lord for that. Enjoy football if you're watching that this afternoon, but grab a friend and come back and see us next Sunday. God bless you.